Well, good evening. Good to see you all. Good crowd here tonight. In case you all are wondering who the stranger standing up here is. Stranger? You like strangers? My name's Brian Lombardi, and I'm the evangelist at the Christian Student Center, which is a college ministry on the campus of the University of Wyoming. And this is a college ministry that the Ninth and Main Church, are you ready for this? You've been supporting for 10 years now. Does that seem possible? Those of you who recognize me. It doesn't seem possible to me, but it's been 10 years, and it's a very good thing. So we really appreciate all your help in this great effort. God has really blessed us. He continues to grow the church in the Rocky Mountain West through this little campus work that we have in Laramie. And we're going through Texas. I've brought a couple college students with me, Brent Beer and Marcos Morales. And they're just my traveling companions. I'm really hoping and praying we'll all be friends by the time we get back to Laramie still. No, they're good guys, and I encourage you to meet them afterwards and ask them some questions. If you have any questions about anything you hear tonight or if you've always wondered, they're happy to share their experience with you. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. This is a Bible class, isn't it? Okay, so let's start with some scripture. Hope you don't mind. Is this a Bible study in congregation? I think it probably is. All right, Philippians chapter 1. I love this little letter that Paul wrote to his beloved Philippian brethren. They were very close. Paul had a very close relationship with this congregation, and he's writing this letter, and really it's kind of a way to say thanks. Thanks for all your support. And we're going to read just a few passages here. Let's start in verse 3 together. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul is basically saying, I think about you. I remember you. And I'm praying for you. And all of this relationship that we share together is possible because we're partners in this gospel. Now we come to the end of the letter, and he talks about that partnership a little bit more specifically. So go ahead and turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read a few verses here in verse 15. Paul says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. Even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." So what was the nature of their partnership? Well, Paul was preaching the gospel, and he was establishing the church everywhere he was going. And this congregation in Macedonia, the Philippian church, was sending him support. And he says, we're partners in this gospel. Now, for him, it wasn't just about dollars and cents. It was about the relationship. And look at what he says next in verse 17. He says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." So as Paul was going through all the many different regions, preaching the gospel, establishing the church, his work was very fruitful, and he was grateful. He remembered, and he was praying for this congregation that was supporting him financially. And it wasn't just that he was receiving funds from them, but they had sort of a spiritual account. And their efforts in supporting him, the fruit that was a result of his work, was increasing in their account. And so that's what he's trying to really encourage them with. And we feel the same way in Laramie. We have a very fruitful work, and we love the fact that There's an account for the Ninth and Main Church in San Angelo that is increasing as the work increases in Laramie, Wyoming. So I hope as we go through this report this evening, that you'll feel very good about the things that are happening up there, and you'll be proud of your work, because this is your work in the Rocky Mountain West, as we're basically doing the same things that Paul was doing, preaching the gospel, trying to make disciples. Some of you may not be familiar with what this is all about, so I have a report here, and we'll just go through, and maybe if we have a few minutes or after our assembly time tonight, we'll be hanging around. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer any of that. So let's talk for a little bit about where we are. The southeast corner of the state of Wyoming and about 50 miles west of our capital, which is Cheyenne. We have a beautiful place called Vitavu in between. It's a rock climber's mecca. These pictures here are about 10 minutes from downtown Laramie, just right up on the hill. To the west of us, we have the Snowy Range and the Medicine Bow Peak there. And in the middle is Laramie Valley, and the town is in that valley. The most predominant feature in the city, of course, is the University of Wyoming. Laramie is a town of about 35,000 people. We have the campus there. It's our main economy. And there are about 14,000 college students there on campus. And they come from, obviously, the state of Wyoming, but all over the country and literally all over the world. It's a very international campus. And, of course, the work at the Student Center reflects that demographic as well. If I can turn around, let me just point out a few things here. This is sort of the main campus area here. And this is 9th Street. The campus extends all the way to about here, where 30th Street is, and then it even goes a little further beyond that. But this road right here is the main entrance, to campus, and right there is the Christian Student Center. That's where we're located, very ideally, right there across the street from campus. Now let's go inside a little bit and I'll show you around. This is the front lawn of the Student Center. You walk in the front door and you hang an immediate left and you'll find a pretty good sized library, and there's also a computer lab in there for students to do homework and check their email and whatnot. When you come back out of the library, you'll pass by my office where I do all my personal Bible studies, back into the foyer there. And you look up to the next level, there are two large rooms there. Passing by the intern office, you'll come into the multi-purpose room where we have ping pong tables set up, and we have a new game we've discovered, spike ball. We do Friday night singing in here. Next to that is the coffee room and family room area, and this is where we have our Thursday noon brown bag Bible study. We also, play some games in there, sort of informal gatherings, and students also will, you know, just hang out and eat their lunches in there. Going down to the basement level, we have a full kitchen, and students are encouraged to bring their lunches down and share them there. We have a banquet area right off the kitchen there. Then there's another layer where we have our fireplace room, and this is where we have a lot of our small group Bible studies. And there's also a game room down there for the students to hang out and enjoy as well. So that's the facility. Now you've all been to the Christian Student Center. If you haven't literally been there, I know some of you, Dennis has been there. He's come up a few years ago. If you ever haven't been there, we'd encourage you to come and see us. Come visit us. It's very encouraging to us to have people from supporting congregations come and spend some time and see the work firsthand. And if you ever get a chance, definitely encourage you to do that. But that's just the facility. This is not the work. This is where the work occurs. We are a campus ministry. It's just a work of the church. Our purpose is to explore, embrace, and emphasize the life of faith in Christ that is revealed in God's Word. Now, when we talk about exploring a life of faith, that's Bible study. Okay, it's not getting in touch with your feelings or discovering yourself. It's what is the will of God. And embracing the life of faith has to do with when we're confronted with truth, we have to decide if we're going to pay the price for it. And so there's an element of counting the cost to discipleship. And so that's part of what we do there as well. And then emphasizing the life of faith is helping these young Christians to grow and mature spiritually so that they could be equipped to make disciples themselves. How do you share Christ with other people? Now, in order to accomplish that, we've divided the work into four separate areas of ministry. It's a work of edification, education, equipping, and ultimately evangelism, all based upon a vision that we get from Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, where Paul says, "We proclaim Him, we proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ." That's our goal. We're trying to take every individual we meet and make them complete in Christ. Every year, we begin the fall semester with a theme, and I try to develop a theme that will help to meet the spiritual needs of the group that we're working with, and trying to anticipate where they are and where they're going, where they need to be. And this last academic year, it was made free by the King in 2015 and 16. And so all of our classes, mainly, and our activities as well, are all filtered through that theme to achieve that particular goal. So we'll talk about edification a little bit. In Romans 12, Paul's writing a letter to the church in Rome. And in this section here, we can go ahead and just turn there briefly. If you have your Bible still open, go ahead and turn to Romans 12. And listen to what he says here beginning in verse 3. He says, "Through the grace given me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Do you think that's a message that has relevance in the 21st century? Right? Paul is writing to a very decadent culture, a very self-absorbed culture. And that's the culture that these Christians in Rome came out of. And he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. He says, "But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." I really hear Paul saying here to these first century Christians, it's really not about you. You think that's a very popular message in the first century? How about today? We don't really like hearing that, do we? But the message that Paul has for them is just as relevant today as it was then. And what he's trying to do here, I think, is to help them to see themselves as part of something greater than themselves. Individually, they are members, one another, of the body of Christ. And so when we think about the work of edification in the Student Center, those are our activities and our events with the goal of trying to bring the group together to make it a cohesive unit, but ultimately to take that group of college students and get them plugged into the body of Christ so that they can be part of something greater than themselves as well. And so it begins really in the summer with freshman orientation. Starting this Friday, we'll be setting up a booth in the union with maybe 85 other student clubs and organizations. And as the freshmen come in for orientation, and this will go on from this Friday to the beginning of July, two sessions a week on Fridays and on Tuesdays. And the freshmen will kind of look at all the different student organizations and learn about the clubs, and gives them a chance to ask questions. And because we're a recognized student organization on campus, we're allowed to have a booth there, and we'll be making contacts. And we'll have anywhere from 100 to 150 freshman contacts to begin working with in the fall semester. What happens in the fall is we get very, very, very busy. This is our September calendar from last fall, and you can see there aren't many empty days on there where there isn't something going on. You notice the first 2 weeks of the semester, we call Blitz Weeks. This is where we have an activity or an event every day for the first 2 weeks. This typically is the most difficult time for incoming freshmen. They have a lot of free time, which is something no one in this room can really identify with, but they do. And so we want to try to provide as many opportunities to get them plugged into the group with the goal of getting them connected to Christ and His body. And so we have a lot of events during that first month, particularly the first 2 weeks. So here's the first week of class. We have an open house at the Student Center. Everybody's welcome, and we usually have some finger foods and some games there. And then on Tuesday night, we'll do a brief introduction of our Tuesday night Bible study and have some sort of dessert afterwards to have let students interact. Wednesday night after class, which meets at the church building of the Laramie Church of Christ, we get as many as we can into our home and feed them again, some kind of a dessert. And then Thursday, to introduce our Thursday noon brown bag Bible study, we'll have a big barbecue, a free barbecue. And the students just come and hang out in the front yard of the Student Center pretty much all day. And we just keep grilling hamburgers and hot dogs until they're all gone. But the main purpose there is at noon to say, hey, every Thursday at this time, we're going to be having a small group Bible study. Bring your lunch and get involved in that. And then Friday, again, this is the first week of class. We'll have our Friday night singing, and we just gather at the Student Center for a time of just devotional singing. A lot of members from the congregation participate in that. And so already they're starting to meet people from the congregation to build those relationships with. Saturday night, we often have some kind of a movie. In this photo here, we took all the furniture out into the yard and made an outdoor movie theater and watched an appropriate film there in the front yard. And then Sunday, of course, we worship together, and usually there's some time in the park, some kind of a picnic or something. And then we do it all again the next week. So that's just the first 2 weeks of the semester. You'll notice on the 11th and 12th there's the fall campout. That sort of marks the end of our Blitz Weeks. And we have a little secret spot. If you come and visit it in Laramie, I'll take you up there and show it to you. But I'll have to blindfold you first and make sure your GPS on your phone isn't turned on or something. But we have a little secret spot up there that we like to meet at. And one of the elders in the congregation there, Wayne Warren, donates all of the camping gear and all of the materials and all the food. These wall tents here are 14 by 20. And there's three of them there. There's actually a third one right there. This is our kitchen. And we'll serve dinner on Friday night. I think we had about 64 up there this last fall. And then we'll have a bonfire devotional that Friday night. And whoever wants to can spend the night, and then we feed them again the next morning. Our mantra in Laramie is, if you feed them, they will come. And so food plays an important part here, and it gives the congregation a lot of opportunities to get involved. But anywhere from some kind of a formal dinner that we'd have so they can dress up and invite a friend and have an evening of entertainment and good food to these informal Sunday night gatherings after every evening assembly on Sunday, a small group gets together somewhere for dinner. We certainly encourage the students to get involved in that. Members of the congregation will open up their barns and cook a meal for us. We call that our barn bash in October. Anything we can do to get the students together, interacting, building those relationships, but with the ultimate goal of getting them connected to the body. In the spring, we do a college retreat over Easter weekend, and this is the Rocky Mountain Campus Ministries Retreat. It's a combination of the University of Wyoming, Utah State University, and Colorado State University. In the past, we've had Oregon State and Idaho as well. University of Idaho and Idaho State University. So it's sort of that Rocky Mountain States region. We come together in a place called Bear Lake Lodge in Utah and have just a little retreat to encourage the students. Our theme this year was on the righteousness of God. So let's kind of keep moving on here. I'm going to run out of time. Let's talk about education a little bit, because you can feed a lot of great meals. You can have a lot of fun activities and make lots of memories. That's really the easy part of this work. You have good people and a good facility and a good purpose. When they get together, it's just going to happen. The difficult thing is to feed them on the will of God, and that's our ultimate goal. And if you go back, let me go back a slide here and just show you. This is a good one that kind of represents, in this particular picture here, just a small group of students. We have two non-Christians in that picture. One is from Africa. Another one's from California there. We have two students who sort of grew up peripherally around the church. One obeyed the gospel in Laramie. Two students who grew up with the church in a Christian home. And one student who was converted there has graduated and is now working full-time in Laramie. And so you have a very diverse, broad spectrum of spiritual needs just in this picture right here. They go from non-Christian, maybe even foreign, maybe they've never even heard the name of Jesus before, all the way up to the student who has grown up in the church in a good Christian home, and they're at a very different level of spiritual knowledge and maturity, and everything in between. So we have to try to meet all of those spiritual needs through our education program every semester. And we accomplish that through a very comprehensive program that involves both individual and group Bible study. We'll talk about our group classes here. Our Sunday morning class in the spring, or in the fall, this is our college class. Mainly members of the church are in this. There are some visitors that have come to that. But it's a little more mature, and we had talked about Christian ethics in there. And then in the fall, that moved into Christian liberties and how to deal with those things. How do we recognize the things that God has commanded us to do? What has He condemned us from doing? And what are those areas where we have the freedom to choose, but what's the right choice? You know, it can be very difficult. So that was our Sunday classes in the fall and spring. And the Tuesday night Bible study, a little more evangelistic, a little more basic. In the fall, we did Encounters with the King. And that the goal there was to just try to let the students sit at the feet of Jesus every week and to encounter Him and His authority. And then in the fall semester, that class transitioned into a very good, deep, thorough study of the Sermon on the Mount. And so what does this King have to say about righteousness and about the type of religion that He wants us to be involved in? On Wednesday nights, we worked through some apologetics and did a video series. In the fall was Brad Harab's series called Convicted, based on a lot of Christian evidences, apologetics based on creationism, whatnot. And then in the spring semester, that became a little bit more narrowly focused on apparent discrepancies about the Bible and so-called contradictions that a lot of college students, frankly, hear in their classes. And so we kind of worked through a lot of those issues in the spring. On Thursday mornings, we have a men's group that met every Thursday. We have breakfast together, and then the men take turns sharing a devotional thought. And, of course, also on Thursday, we have that brown bag Bible study. The theme this year was since it's made free by the king in 2015 and 16. The idea here was freedom from ignorance. And I just picked a topic every week, both semesters, and just basically said, okay, this is something you really ought to not be ignorant about, some doctrinal issue or some behavior. And that's what we did in Brown Bag there this year. In the evenings on Thursday as well, the ladies have their group Bible study, and they work through the book of Philippians together. Without a doubt, the personal Bible study is really one of the most important aspects of the education program. We had, I think, 20 individual students in weekly Bible studies this last year. And we break those studies into three different categories. The first is obviously evangelistic, where the goal is to share the gospel with a non-Christian. The second category is an edification study, and that goal there is to take a young Christian and just shore up the foundation of their faith, make sure they understand all the basic principles about salvation, about authority, about the church and their involvement in the church. And so we deal with a lot of the basic issues there. And then the third category is equipping. And that's where I'll work with the student one-on-one, and I'm really training them and teaching them how to share the gospel, how to make a disciple, how to have a personal Bible study. And so what happens a lot of times is a student will come in, they hear the gospel, they're converted, we continue to study, their faith is really strengthened, and they have a good foundation. And then before they graduate, they get some equipping so that when they leave and move on, they have some tools that they can use in their walk of faith to continue to share Christ with others. When a student enters into a personal study with me, for what they don't realize, and I don't tell them this, but I've made a 2-year commitment to that one student. And usually fall and spring, 2 years, so 4 semesters at least, meeting every week, sometimes more than once a week, before they get through all of the material that I use with them. So this is a really important part of the education program. Another thing we've been doing lately, last few years, is a Student Center Bible Bowl. You guys know what Bible Bowls are? You have those in Texas? You know, Bible trivia, ask questions, the students study a book. First one we did was the Gospel of Mark, and this last year we did the Book of Hebrews, and this was our winning team here. They were presented with commentaries on the Book of Hebrews. Now, over the last, you know, 2 decades, the Student Center has been very fruitful in evangelism. Just sort of kind of running the numbers of the last 25 years, we've averaged somewhere around 12 or 15 conversions per academic year. And when I first moved to Laramie back 480 years ago when I was a student, I was converted through this work back when I was a college student. The Laramie Church was around 140 members. And as I stand here today, the Laramie Church is still about 140 members. But since that time, just in that period of time, the congregation has more than doubled itself in size. And if you go back a little further, not much further, it's tripled itself in the last 25, you know, years or so. And so you think, well, what's the congregation's not really growing, is it? That's because Laramie is just a revolving door, and people are converted, they're edified, they're equipped, and then they leave. So it's sort of an evangelistic and a very equipping congregation. But the church itself always kind of stays about the same size. And for that reason, we'll, at least in the near future, likely need outside help to support this work. And congregations like the Ninth and Main Church here in San Angelo, we're very grateful for that, because there's no way we could do what we do without the help of other congregations. And my personal opinion on that is that's a good thing, because I like the idea of lots of different congregations and people getting to be involved in this good, fruitful work. So here's a couple students who were converted just this last semester. This is Jesse Leach. Jesse's from Cheyenne, a Wyoming kid. Started coming around the student center, not this year, but last year. She came to some of our events and started getting to know some people. And then this last academic year, you really could see the truth seeker in her. And she started coming to all of our group Bible studies, started attending worship, and very inquisitive mind and always wanting to learn and grow. And, of course, we began a personal Bible study, and it wasn't very long for her before she was ready to obey the gospel. In fact, I was working through some lessons with her. We were meeting week by week, and at one point, she actually beat me to the student center and was there waiting for me. She got there early and had kind of a, she looked upset. And so we came in and sat down and, she said, "I want to obey the gospel." Well, I said, "Well, we haven't really got to that yet." But you see, she's been hearing it in our classes and in the worship sermons and things. So she's already kind of putting things together. Now, Jesse comes from a pretty strong Methodist background. And so she's hearing truth, and it's not fitting with her personal experience, but as it just continues to be reinforced through good, sound teaching, and she's having to decide, am I going to let go of my past experience and embrace this, or am I going to reject this and hold on to my Methodism? And fortunately, she had the courage to let the other go and embrace the truth. And so here she is obeying the gospel. Very, very proud of Jesse. Very neat kid. This is Jacob Sentner. Jacob's from Gillette. And same type of young man. Very inquisitive mind. He's the type of individual in our studies where I would just sort of explain something. This is sort of the context of this passage. And then I'm going to move into the point that we want to discuss. And he'll say, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. How do you know that? How do you know that's true?" You know? And of course, I'm deeply offended by that and tell him to get out of my office. No. No, that's very encouraging. And so I'll say, "Well, let's step back a little bit and let me explain. Let me show you." And so he wants to know everything. And we're really impressed with Jacob. We expect great things from him in the next few years. That's the group that was there. These two were baptized one day apart. Jesse obeyed the gospel, and the next day Jacob did. So that was a fun week there. The evangelistic opportunities are really starting to rev up in Laramie. We had a little bit of a lull in our numbers in this last year. You know, we can't control that. We just need to be faithful with the opportunities that are given us, and we work very hard to make sure we are. If people decide to obey or not, that's up to them. So we can't really control the numbers of conversions. But I will say that the opportunities for evangelism have been growing and increasing, and we're very excited about the next semester to get started, because some of these students we've already built a rapport with, we've already had some studies with. Now they're gone for the summer, but as they come back in the fall, we're really hoping and expecting a very fruitful next academic year. Gil Factor here, flying his airplane. He's in the ROTC program in the Air Force, and very neat young man. He grew up in the Star Valley area. Probably don't know where that is. That's the northwest corner of the state where Yellowstone is and Jackson, Wyoming. Very beautiful up there, and he has grown up in Mormon country. So really all he knows is Mormonism. Now, he's not a Mormon, doesn't identify as a Mormon. He believes there's a God, believes that the Bible has something relevant to say, knows he doesn't want to be Mormon, but he has very little knowledge of God's will. Well, he encountered a group that had gotten on campus and was spreading around some false doctrine, and it really upset him. And so he was sort of nervous and fearful and anxious and decided, "Oh, I'm going to walk in the Christian Student Center and figure this out." And he'd never been there before. No one even knew him. And he walked in the front door, went right into my office, and said, "I need to talk to somebody. I'm freaking out here. I need some answers." And I said, "Well, who are you? You know, what's your name?" And he told me and kind of explained his situation and what he had heard. "I need to know if this is true, you know." And I said, "No, that's not true. And let me show you. Let's sit down and let's walk through some things." And of course, that led into a weekly personal Bible study. And he heard the gospel this semester and has been learning about the church. His struggle right now is his family. He realizes that if he obeys this gospel, it's going to cause some problems in the home. And there is no church in his area. So where does he go if he wants to become part of the one true church? What happens to him when he goes home? So I think that's really causing him to really think carefully if he wants to get involved in this. And now he's home for the summer, and we'll continue to maintain contact off and on. And we've already decided we're going to continue our study in the fall. So we have several students like this. When the fall semester begins, we're just going to hit the ground running. Another student here I want to introduce you to here is Chang Huang. This kind of shows the international flair of the work in Laramie. She's from China, came to the university to get a second bachelor's in business. She's a 4.0 student and is going to be working right into a PhD program. And her goal is to become a professor, to go back home to China and teach in the university there. When she came to Laramie, she never heard the name of Jesus. She didn't know anything about this Jesus. Who is he and what is this Christianity? Never knew the Bible even existed. Does that surprise you? Does that seem possible that there are people on earth that could be like that? Well, she found us on the university webpage for the student clubs and said, I just want to know a little bit more about Christianity. And so she and I began a personal study, and just a phenomenal young lady. Very slow process, though. You have to go little bits at a time. And she's traveling right now, but when she gets back, we have plans to continue to meet through the summer, and I really hope and pray that she'll become a sister. Nothing would thrill me more than for her to become Dr. Huang and go back to China and take the gospel into that very closed and guarded country. Talk a little bit about equipping. I think I have just a couple minutes. Am I right on that? It's about not quite 20 till. The bell means I have 5. Is that right? Has anybody heard any bells ringing? Sometimes I miss it. No, hey, stop that man right there. Don't let him out. See, if I'd have kept going, you would have never thought about it. I should have just been quiet. Take your time. Take your time. I mentioned earlier that this isn't, you know, you hear the word campus ministry, and it's sort of a phrase that has a lot of baggage, doesn't it? People aren't really sure what that is and what that means. I don't even really use that term very often. This is a work of the church, okay? We're doing the work of the church. This is the Lord's work. And through this campus ministry, the Lord's really building up the church in this part of the country. Many of the preachers and deacons and elders of the congregations throughout Colorado and Wyoming and Montana and the surrounding regions were converted right here and have moved on, and now they're leaders in the congregations. So when you kind of see all that and how it's worked over the last 50 years, this work's been going on. We take the equipping part of this ministry very seriously. We try to be very responsible with this aspect of it. We want the students to not only grow in their faith, but to be equipped to make disciples themselves. And so students learning for themselves, but also learning how to study with others. Young men like DJ here has grown to the point where he is a teacher in our high school program. He's part of the regular rotation now, okay? And that growth happened in his time as a student in Laramie. Working with young couples is a huge part of the equipping work. Students tend to fall in love, and they sometimes get married there in college. And so we work very closely with them. I do a lot of premarital counseling. Both my wife and I work together with them in how to make a godly home, how to use your home to serve the kingdom, right? It's not about us. We're part of something greater than ourselves. This is Emily here, and she's been in my report many times. She was converted in Laramie as a freshman, and we've had her for 5 years now. And so in that time period, she's not only grown in her own faith, but she's been equipped to be a mentor for the other ladies at the student center. And she is a teacher in the children's program, the teaching, you know, Bible class for the Laramie congregation. And now she's graduated, got married last Saturday to Jacob here. And they're going to be moving back to Casper, Wyoming. They're going to become part of that congregation, and they're ready. They're ready to go to work. This is a young couple that can walk right in and say, what can we do? We're ready to help. And that's exactly what will happen with them. I'm very confident. You have that end of the spectrum, and then we have the newlyweds as well. This is my middle daughter, Cora, and her husband, Wyatt, and they were married last August. This is why we couldn't come last summer, because we had a very busy, busy family summer. They were married in August last summer. And Cora has started the mentorship and training program in our teaching. And she's assisting in classrooms now with the children. And eventually she'll be teaching on her own. And so here's another young couple, Stephen and Julie Reutsch. Stephen, that's the parents. Dalen and Kaylin Reutsch are the young couple. Dalen just graduated with an engineering degree, and he'll be moving to Enid, Oklahoma to begin flight school for the United States Air Force. And the interesting thing about this here is when I was a student, I went to school with his parents, Stephen and Julie. Okay, Julie grew up in a Christian home, but Stephen came to the University of Wyoming on a wrestling scholarship, and he became a Christian through the efforts at the student center, and they married, and now they have 6 kids. Dalen's the oldest, and so here, this is the second generation coming through now. And that's kind of what I meant when I say you have to really think long term. And it's slow, patient, difficult work in this aspect of it, but it definitely pays off in the long run. A lot of our young men are involved in the youth programs throughout our state. Both Brent and Marcos were teachers in the Casper Youth Rally this last year, and you know, that's a situation where I didn't call them and say, hey, could you get these guys involved? They need some practice. No, the Casper Church said, we're having a youth rally. We need 2 teachers, actually 3, because one of our other young men was the 3rd teacher. And they contacted them on their own and said, hey, we need you to teach. And so here they are teaching in the youth rally program there in Casper. But it's not just there, it's also our Bible camp. In this end of July, first part of August, we'll be hosting a youth camp above Lander, Wyoming in the Wind River Mountain Range. And pretty much the Christian Student Center is going to be running this camp. Most of the students will be involved as cabin counselors and Bible class teachers and workers at this camp. And so they're learning, they're getting training, they're getting opportunities to grow in their work. So, did you hear a bell? I still didn't hear a bell. Was there a bell? There was. See, I missed it. All right. Well, without a doubt, probably the most significant contribution in the equipping area is our internship. We give one or sometimes 2 young men an opportunity to become staff and they work part-time, basically, through the fall and spring semester. They're given some duties and responsibilities, but really it's all about just giving them a taste of what ministry is all about. Greg Garso, the pulpit minister, and myself work closely with these young men, and Marcos is my intern right now, so that's why he had to come to Texas. He didn't have a chance. No. Actually, he's not getting paid for any of this, so he's here by choice. So I'm glad for that. But the men learn to do personal work. They learn to study the Bible. They learn to preach and to do just various aspects of ministry. And that fits in our equipping because a lot of these young men are going on to work full-time in the kingdom. And these are just some from the last, 20 years or so. Well, yeah, last 20 years. All of these young men working full-time somewhere, predominantly in the Rocky Mountain West. There are some, one's in Missouri and one's in Kansas and one's in Tennessee, but the rest are all in Rocky Mountain states. And they're taking their living from the gospel and working full-time. Many of these individuals and their wives were converted in Laramie. Now, I don't have time to tell you all their stories, but you kind of get the picture here from that. So that's the Christian Student Center. We've had a very good year, a very fruitful year, and we're very excited for the fall semester to begin to get after it again. So thank you for your help. Thanks for supporting us and for your partnership. So together, we'll just keep on keeping on together.